ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to the Born and Raised Audio Experience, presented by Onyx.
We're hot.
Live, whatever.
Tonight finds us around a propane fireplace, and we're in the middle of the western United States looking for bears.
Yes.
In the coastal region. Anyway, it's kind of a special podcast for me because I got two people here that I actually really, really enjoy spending time out in the woods with, and just getting to know these guys has been a real, real blessing to me. So anyway, it's the Life Outdoors.
Well, hello, thank
how many
you.
How many times have you changed the name? What was it?
Cascade Hunter, the first time.
Cascade Hunter, Southern Oregon Outdoors. And then we ended up with the Life Outdoors.
And it's stuck.
Yeah.
I like the Life Outdoors.
The Life Outdoors is it.
You know, and we do Bearbow Hunter stuff too. And it's hard because there's guys that like that, you know, and so they know me by the Bearbow Hunter. But I'd like to all make it the Life Outdoors because you're not supposed to do that, right?
I have no idea about branding. I have no idea about trying to figure out the best way. I have no clue. But, the Life Outdoors, and I kind of want to get into that a little bit more. But let's just talk about exactly where we're at, what we're doing.
Now I'm blinding you with my lights.
Yeah, it's a headlamp wars right now. I wanted you guys to come down. I've been talking to Nate. This is Nate and Gage. Who we have on the podcast with me. And I've been wanting you guys to come down and hunt some bears. Man, this year Southwest spring bear tag was not easy to draw.
You saw me whining all about it. I didn't get mine.
Yeah,
you probably saw that.
Yeah. So Gage has got a tag. And
I got mine, just by the way.
He knows people.
he must know people up in the upper echelon of ODF&W. Gage has got a tag, come down here, and I just said, guys, come on down, let's do this, and you guys are here now.
Yeah, and we thank you, man. It's really cool. Some of the stuff that you have to hunt here is really, really neat.
It's neat country.
It is.
It's neat country. It's terrible.
I don't know, man. It's pretty cool.
It's crazy how different the terrain can be for just 2 hours of driving.
Yeah.
Because we only live 2 hours away from you. So
I've said this about Oregon since forever, since we started everything about Born and Raised, since I actually got to go check out different places and different states even. But Oregon is the most diverse state, I think, in the western United States. Mm-hmm. We can hunt rainforest, we can hunt desert, we can hunt cascades, we can hunt, I mean, there's so many things, especially even down where you guys are at, you know?
Yeah,
down
by Medford. just there, it's so different, you know? Totally. You can hunt the oaks, and then you go up and you hunt the pines, and we do that, like second season blacktails.
It's all oak.
You can hunt all sorts of different ground, you know?
Crazy.
It is.
And too, like we were talking today, like the blacktails here on the coast where we live, are totally different animals than down where you guys live.
The bench legs.
Oh,
we just everybody's ears went forward.
It's a key word.
Yeah, no, you're right. They seem almost different animals.
Different. I will say blacktails are blacktails. They're the hardest.
Right.
I will say that it's one of the hardest animals to kill consistently, I would say.
Oh,
a good blacktail is the hardest animal to kill consistently.
Yeah.
But at the same time, where you guys live, they grow them a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
They just do.
They're big.
They are. They're horns. Mm-hmm. You know, their horns are, I mean, considerably larger, I would say.
I get to see a lot of them. I don't get to kill a lot of them, but I get to see a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they are. They are a bigger deer as far as the antlers are concerned. Some people say that's because there's some, you know, there's some mule deer mixed in there. And I'm not one. I don't know. I do know that they are nice and big.
Yeah.
And
you're not complaining.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah. And I will say that they're like ghosts in the woods. And I will say that they've eluded me. A big blacktail, you know, I've killed a lot of little guys, but a big blacktail, I have not got a good quality blacktail.
Hey, I finally got one.
Did you find a tick?
Oh, I got a tick.
We got ticks. On. All right. I had one. Nate had
3.
Had 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Let's do some math. How many is that?
That's 5.
That's five.
I have a tentless.
A
floorless tent that I'm going to be sleeping in. I'm a little worried about this.
Math wasn't a really good.
We got our education trip. Yeah, that's all we care.
We got it. So, yeah, there's a lot of ticks around, and it is what it is. They don't eat much, so.
That's what you keep telling me.
I keep telling you. They
it's
don't
not the eat much.
Much
stuff that bothers me. Yeah, it's kind of, you know.
They don't eat much. You're going to be just fine. So I just want to dig in a little bit as far as, you know, we've established who we're all with and everything. And the life outdoors. So you guys have seen me pray a lot of times before hunts. You've seen me, you know, reference the Bible or reference God or something like that in the past. And I don't try to push it. I don't try to go over and above as far as, you know, Christianity or anything of my beliefs and everything. I just want to tell, I guess, the story, and I don't want to be fake. I just want to, you know, be myself, I guess. And so what drew me a lot to what you guys are doing is the life outdoors. What is your vision with what you're doing now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because I've had people commenting on like our videos. We have a YouTube channel. It's a lot of fun. We like to do it. But I had a guy actually comment on what we were doing on the YouTube channel, and he's like, "Man, you know, I've seen too many people being religious on YouTube,
yeah,
right?"
And
especially in the hunting community. And I'm like, "Well, hopefully you're not seeing that on our channel."
Mm-hmm. Right.
What we really do is, you know, we live in a pretty chaotic world. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we talk about 2020 and that kind of stuff, but it's always been chaotic. And so what we try to do is we believe that what we're bringing into the outdoor community is God himself. Is we're trying to promote exactly what he looks like to outdoor enthusiasts. Mm. And we want to do it in a real way. But anyhow, this guy, he was really kind of on me about it, you know? And I was like, "Well, here's the deal. You know, you come to my channel to watch something that's really authentic and really real. We try to put that out. And I couldn't be that if I didn't say stuff about what the Lord."
Yeah.
And the last thing that we want to portray is any kind of religious idea of that. We just want to follow the Lord, and it's a part of us. So that's who we are. And that doesn't spread a religious connotation at all. I think if you guys have seen our videos, you could agree that we try not to be that way.
Right.
And sometimes it happens. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But
oh, yeah.
That's what we do. So what we want to do is we want to help people. Basically, is what we want to do is we want to help people who maybe are having a hard time or having some kind of things that they maybe they've gone to a church before and they weren't treated completely well, or they have a idea about what God is about. And we, quite honestly, we are who we are, and we just try to portray that. And we believe that the Lord made us who we are, and that's being a hunter, being somebody who actually loves to laugh.
Laugh and recreate.
Recreate, right, and right. Be around other people. And yeah. Those people don't even have to be somebody that believes the same thing we do.
Right.
But at the same time, we feel like that's what we've been called to do. And that's awesome. So that's what we do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we just are plain just trying to be who we are. And
it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's really.
It's not a good thing either.
Well, it depends on if you ask my wife or not. But no, so that's what we're trying to do with the Life Outdoors is actually our kind of our motto is to bring life into and through the outdoors. So what we mean by that's that cool. is to bring life into is to speak to the outdoor community and say, hey, look, you know, there's a reason you come out and do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual thing. It really is. And then use the outdoors to bring it to the rest of the world and say, hey, look, you know, when you actually commune with outdoors, you're doing something completely bigger and something different than just being your own little self on this world.
I would totally agree.
You just look at the stars, man. All you got to do is look at the stars and you go, you know, I am not the center of the universe.
No. My YouTube channel is not that awesome.
Yeah, I mean, as good as it is.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying, go ahead.
I think it, as a hunter, you know that, though. Just the clear cuts we went to today, you see that and just, man, I'm a small dude.
Right.
There's a lot of country out there.
Well, but I'm an active participant in it, too.
Yep, we're in it.
Well, and you're the person who is taking care of it as well. Mm-hmm. Just like Trent. Some of those clear cuts, you cut.
Yep.
Yeah. No, and it takes, I think, you know, I go back to the same places that I cut maybe, and I just go like, okay, guys, this should be about the right growth, you know, or something of right. that nature. And then it takes it honestly, and that's I think that's what podcasts are. That's what positive social media is. That's what that kind of nature as far as like Nate. It took Nate like today saying, man, you have no idea how cool that is to have cut something. And however you believe on cutting timber and cutting trees and everything for the, you know, for a renewable resources, however you feel on that.
Or whatever, habitat.
Yeah, know? Whatever your stance is on that. But right. at the same time and going, wow. And then after that, we cut that. It was actually just integrated with life, honestly, with wildlife. Right. And then you harvested something to feed your family from that unit that you cut or whatever, you know, that may be. It's just like, and like when we were walking out today of a spot that we went to and Nate was just like, man, he goes, that is really, really cool that, you know, you guys have actually taken game off of stuff that you've had pretty much an intimate interaction with
yeah.
in the past. Yeah. And it's just like, I've thought about it. Don't get me wrong. I've thought about it like, wow, guys, we're going to a spot that I actually cut. I've been to numerous times every single day. And it goes down to honestly, you know, cutting trees is dangerous, risking my life
yeah.
to cut. And it's not about, you know, as far as that, I'm not going to take it that far. But at the same time, it's like, and going out there and then in the end, you kill something and harvest something, kill something, whatever, however you want to say that, and then feeding your family
right
with that. Is that too crazy to...
No, not at all.
Isn't that...
It's a full circle.
It is. It's a full circle, but at the same time, it's like a little different, right?
Well,
a little different.
So put it in another perspective, and I don't know if... Okay, I get kind of weird when I think about this stuff, but...
This should be good.
Put it in another perspective. You opened up the canopy, allowed growth for smaller trees to grow up and be in that canopy, and also allowed for the grass that the bears eat. And then you shoot that bear, and then you eat it.
Yeah.
And
Lion King.
It is. There's a lot to that, but there's Circle something molecular that happens. Okay, now I'm getting kind of weird, but there's something molecular that happens to that. You're actually, you created that whole cycle that is coming, giving back to you. And that's life, man.
If
you really think about it, that's a big deal.
It's really cool to think about in the end. And I think it's something that I think as outdoorsmen, sportsmen, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, we overlook a little bit.
Yeah.
At times. I think we take for granted a little bit of what goes in possibly to making that harvest, whatever you want to call it, kill, whatever you want to call it, on your table.
Yeah. You know, quite honestly, I think that's one of the big reasons I still hunt a lot is when I eat elk, then it gives me a whole nother appreciation for the hamburger that I get at Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know what it took to get there. And when I eat the elk that I've shot and we've packed out, and then every time that you take a bite of elk, and I think the whole bro idea of this is the same, is you go back to that time that you actually shot that elk.
Yeah.
And it's an honest thing because we love elk.
Oh, man.
I mean, we saw elk today and we sat there, mm-hmm. and we just looked at them, and then we were talking about this one looks really healthy and that looks good. And we like to watch them. It's funny because we're hunters that like to sit there and watch elk.
It's something, I think, going to your freezer and looking at a package of whatever it may be, burger, it may be steaks, it may be tenderloin, it may be, and seeing that date written, yep. on that package that you packaged yourself. Yep. If not, I mean, if you had a whatever, whoever packaged it, and seeing that and going, guess what? I'm going to feed my family.
Yep.
With a cow that I shot last year, yeah. and guess what? And we are going to thrive,
right.
because of this.
Right.
There's something to be said about that.
Right. And the relationship that it took to get that there. You know, that's huge.
All the things that had to come together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You mean?
And all your buddies that helped you get it out.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
All the things that had to come together.
That's more than elk. That's more than hunting.
I would agree. I would totally agree with you.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what we look at when we're looking at, you know, and we all get it right on YouTube channel. Like, why don't you just leave the animals alone and go to your supermarket? Or why don't you do this and that? Well, because I want to be honest about what I do. It's the same thing with why we put out our Lord. That's why we talk about the Lord on our channels, because it's just as honest for us.
I'm not going to hide it.
I'm not going to beat you over the head with it either.
That's,
I don't,
my whole
do
thing
that.
Is from what I've done. It's like, and I honestly have been, this is Trent's small little anxiety world, as far as I've been honestly offered to speak at churches and stuff just because of, you know, just praying a couple different times,
right?
You know, on, and I would love to one of these days. I'd love to try to do that, but I just, as far as, you know, me personally, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
It's not there
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so it's tough for me, like, to see you, Nate, like on your film tours
that
you do. It's pretty impressive for me to see that, just because I can do this podcast because, mm-hmm. there's no one in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm the same way.
I can do that, you know.
Yeah, but Dad's got a talent, and God gives you that.
He's got a talent.
Yep.
Yeah. Nate, you have a really, really God-given talent. But if I can do a small part at just, you know, a lot of, you know, what I do and everything, it's, and I know where it comes from. And
yeah. Yeah.
I think that's something.
Oh, it is exactly something. That's exactly what we need to think about. You know, quite honestly, sometimes I think that the way that we affect people is the way that we live more than what we say. And I mean, totally honestly. And that's why when I had a guy that's, and it's funny because the conversation went this way and then we took it off of YouTube because he did it out of respect for me. He didn't want to continue the conversation on YouTube because he didn't want to negatively say anything. Which I respected. I thought that was great. But he was calling me out about putting so much religion in, or whatever you want to call it, into my videos. And then he started texting me. And finally he said, at the end of the text, he says, hey, do you mind an atheist watching your stuff? And I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
We make it for everybody.
Absolutely.
And we would love to have you watch it. And matter of fact, the fact that you like our stuff means something, so you should really think about why you like our stuff.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you, basically the biggest thing is about it is because that's who we are.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be authentic, I don't want to put on anything that direction either, but I don't also want to put on anything the other direction. I am who I am, and I try to stay that way. I mean, of course, we all try to protect things at times and things like that. I get that. But honesty is something that, especially nowadays, we really have to live off of. And I think that's a good thing for people to try to see us. And that's, I think that's why we love Bro. That's why we love the Born and Raised Outdoors.
One of the biggest compliments that you've ever given me was just before we started this podcast, when you said, people ask you, well, what is Trent like? And I've never ever thought about people ever asking.
Oh, they ask me that all the time.
Ever. Yeah. And you said, he is exactly what he is. And
on TV.
Really.
Or on YouTube.
Really. Yeah. It felt good, because it was just like, I do not want to be anybody that I'm not.
Yep.
I never want to be anybody that I'm not. And it's just what I am and who I am. And I think, man, I think a lot of people today, and I don't want to go down a giant rabbit hole of social media. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, it's just like, I think a lot of people, you know, they try, you know, don't try to be anybody you're not. Try to figure out who you are and then build on that and then embrace that.
Right. And even in like the hunting world, especially with what you guys do, you know, the pressure's always to get bigger and better. And the thing that I like about Born and Raised, it just like you're talking about the Jakes, right? You shot Jake turkeys.
Oh, yeah. I am not afraid to shoot a small bearded animal.
Me neither, man. So here's the deal about that, is that is what brings me to Born and Raised Outdoors right there, is the fact that, you know what? I'm going to get jacked up over a Jake. And that's awesome. We should all think
that
way.
Most people do.
Most people do. They just, for some reason,
they don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to see it.
So to take this, oh man, I'm going to catch some flack for this. To take this turkey hunting back to elk hunting, is, you know what, I'm going to shoot every opportunistic, you know, bull that I have. But there is a time that I'm going to kill it hasn't happened.
A big one?
But I'm just saying, it's going to happen. At some point, you're going to kill a big one.
That's not a problem either.
No, and it's, you're going to be thrown into that category.
Yeah,
I know. You're a big bull killer. You know, you got to, you know, it's just like, no, I'm going to, you know, shoot anything opportunistic. Gage, this last year, talk to me about this last, you know, when you feel like, we were talking about this before the podcast started, and we said, okay, stop it. We need to have mics up. Yeah. Talk to me about being a bull killer.
I am now. Finally.
You're right, you are. You're right, you are.
Finally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my elk hunting started all the way back before I was even 12, before you can even shoot elk. I've been hunting with Dad. Dad used to put me on his shoulders, and we'd go elk hunting.
That's so cool.
So, I wasn't a really serious elk hunter until we started bow hunting, and that was until I started bow hunting, and that was 6-7 years ago.
And we have a picture of you at 2013, and you really weren't into it then.
I wasn't, yeah. It didn't get until that first bull was called in. But from there, man, Dad's called in, I don't know how many, I can't count how many bulls Dad has called in for me. And it's been a struggle, you know, taking time off work, changing jobs and doing all that, and life, having a baby right before season, and then taking a week off and saying, hey honey, this is part of my life, I have to do this.
She's awesome though.
She is awesome. Yeah. But it, you know, those kind of things, or not having enough money to take a week off, you know, it's those kind of things that, I am an elk hunter, that'll never change.
Yeah.
So all these years not shooting one, it was getting to the point where, like, it's got to happen. One of these days, it's just got to happen. And not last year, but the year before, we called in, I think, 8 bulls. And 3 of those were called in to me. And none of them were killed.
We're not counting those.
Nah.
No.
The only one I count is that one.
That one I should have shot 10 times over.
Actually,
tenfold.
It is what it is.
But at the same time, it was like, this year I went into it, and it was like, I'm going to shoot the first legal elk that comes into me. And what do you know? It's this little teeny spike that came into me, and I smoked him.
You shot him good. Uh-huh.
And I am totally proud of it.
Yeah.
And that is the only animal I've killed that's not on the wall. But at the same time, that is the most – that's the only animal I've killed that I've cried about.
Yeah.
So all those years boiling up to kill an elk, it's a big deal. Is a very big deal to put this time and effort into it and finally succeed.
We have to step back just a little bit too. So you guys don't know the backstory. He didn't go into the backstory of this.
Love this. I don't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, guys.
There's a backstory here.
Go ahead.
His older brother just kind of jumps into killing elk or killing anything. Aaron. Well,
at the time, I was too young to not be with you. So
right,
in Oregon,
right, right.
In Oregon, I think you have to be 14
right.
before you can't hunt with
right.
your
you were like 13.
Guardian. Yeah. And I had to be with Dad to push to elk hunt, to rifle hunt where we were hunting. You have to push elk. And so I had to stay with Dad. And so Aaron, my oldest brother, gets to go up on top of the knob and sit there and wait for the elk to be pushed to him. So Aaron did get to shoot a lot of elk before I did.
So we pushed it.
So there's that.
Yeah, we were walking through there.
We're rifle hunting at that point.
We were rifle hunting.
Yeah.
And they had the youth tags. And okay. We were walking and we were pushing through. And his younger brother was with us too, who had a BB gun full of BBs that were sloshing around. And we walked into the elk. We got right in the middle of them. But with that BB gun, it was, and his younger brother was 5 years younger than he was, so he was probably 13, so that would make him 7.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sloshing BBs around, and Gage was trying to keep him quiet, like bigger brothers do.
Old school.
This isn't the first time that his younger brother messed it up,
uh-huh.
or this is the second time.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyhow, so we're pushing these elk through, and we know where they're going to come out. You know, once we push them, they're going
right.
to go up. Well, those elk left, and Gage was pretty upset. He was like, man, oh man, you know, we were right in here. Why do I always have to push with you, Dad? You know, because
going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so it got pushed up, and his older brother was probably sleeping by the time, mm-hmm. knowing Aaron, or just daydreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that cow came by him, and Aaron killed it. And so that was the way it was. And so Gage had to live with this like that. That happened to him like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, and my brothers didn't rub it in at all.
Never mentioned it once.
No, not at all.
Both my brothers killed a deer and an elk before I did.
Yeah. Never mentioned it once.
So that's his elk experience. And, you know, and then he went in, we went in down and you called it. You said, this is where we're going tomorrow because
yep.
it was your shot.
Yep.
And I was like, I even have video.
So, and what actually happened is I've watched some Born and Raised videos, and Trent has actually taught me this, is when you're not an elk, get out of there.
Yeah, that's true.
And move. Yeah. And that's what we had to do. And so I made the call to go somewhere else where we knew. We knew we went in there the year before, and
yeah,
there was a lot of elk
in there. It's just a deep hole.
And, it was just a pain in the butt to get in there. But I made the call, and that's sometimes what you got to do.
Yeah.
So,
and it worked out. And that's, quite honestly, between my son, my older son, Aaron, killing that, he's just done some, it's almost like it comes easy to him.
Yeah, oh yeah. There's those guys.
There's those guys.
It drives me nuts sometimes. Oh, yeah. It drives him nuts completely.
There's those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But between that and Gage shooting this elk, this spike that he killed, was probably one of the best. I don't know. That's made my hunting career. I could probably quit elk hunting after that, just because that's how big it is.
It was a day.
It was a day.
Yep.
Hang it up.
Seriously, yep. I could hang it up and just be fine with it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is the elk hunter mentality is like, next year's getting, I'm going to go in there and get another one next year.
Yeah.
Well, and so that just, I mean, I think that feeds the fire, right?
It does.
It does.
I mean, it feeds that fire.
Well, and the whole way that worked, you know, because we cow called that bull right down through to him, and he had to make some moves to actually kill that elk. And you'll see it in the video. He made it happen, which is, we were talking about that before, right? There's times when you just got to make it happen.
You are a elk hunter, or you're going to be an elk killer,
or just, you know, a wildlife watcher.
Or, well, that's an elk hunter.
Yeah,
that's an elk hunter.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's that small step, I think, between being an elk hunter and just being an elk killer. And we talked about this, you know, before we fired up the podcast. It was just like, okay, we need to get some mics on.
Yeah.
So it is. It's just like people, you know. Man, if you would have taken that one more step, how many times have you heard that?
I said it right before the podcast.
I think you just said it. Okay. Well, shots fired. But it's just like, you know, if that branch wouldn't have been in the way, man, it would have been that easiest. Well, then duck down and shoot that elk.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Or step around to where that branch isn't in your way.
Yeah. And it turns out, actually, once you start doing, you know, the killing side of things, it's just like, I made it happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about myself by any means, but I'm just saying, like,
that's the mindset. Story.
Yeah, the mindset of, okay, I've watched my brother, Trevor. He has done some ninja stuff. I'm not even rolled over 360. There's been some pirouettes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real thing. Anyway, yeah, where he's just like come up, you know, off his knees and just flung an arrow and killed an elk. And it's that making it happen, right? It's that, you know, taking advantage of the situation,
right?
Rather than going, he's not broadside, shoulder forward, 28 yards. I got a pin for that. I've already ranged it.
Right.
There's a lot of times you cannot. It just doesn't work. It's just not a realistic thing.
Yeah, yeah. When did that switch flip for you? Do you remember when that switch flipped?
Man,
it's been a while ago. I know.
You've been a killer for a while.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I've seen your barn, Trent. Don't worry.
You've seen my barn.
Yeah, you've seen the videos, but yeah, you guys still have no idea. You haven't dove deep in the mind of Trent Fisher.
But I really think it would help people. But I think that's the biggest thing for elk hunting is it that is. Switch to flip. You know, it is,
and it just becomes. Back in the day, I will be totally honest. I was hunting. I got to the point where I honestly, the switch that flipped for me, man, I've never ever talked about this. This is weird. Wow, you guys are digging deep. Anyway, so it was actually with a guy that I worked with for a long time. His name is Rusty. I'm not going to mention his last name, but he called elk a lot. And anyway, I kind of got with him and everything, learned how to call, learned how to cow call and bugle a little bit. But what I learned there is I was going to go after any elk that I could.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go after a cow, because cows were legal in the unit that I hunted at that point. And I was going to go after any elk. I was not wanting to, you know, kill the biggest bull ever. I was wanting to kill something legal.
Right.
And I said, I'm going to go for anything that I can, no matter how deep, how dark, however that I saw the elk. And so I learned from that. And that's where I started my whole elk journey, if you will. And I went down in the deepest, darkest hell holes to try to kill a cow.
Right.
To try to kill a cow.
Right.
That's what I was after. I was after trying to kill an elk. And it turned out being, honestly, the first branch bull that I killed, Rusty, it was actually there. And I shot a 5-point bull on state ground and missed him the first shot. And the bull busted, and I went down, and long story short, and I shot it at 55 yards and killed the bull and shot him really, really well. And and that's where I started the journey of, but you have no idea how many, I would see a whole group of cows in the bottom of a unit, and you guys know,
we've seen it now.
Units over here, and it was
stuff.
the bottom of Satan's taint, if you will.
Yeah.
And I would run clear down and try to call those elk and try to learn those elk. And that's how I started my whole bow hunting, if you will, or
nice.
elk calling career. And then just learning elk and learning their sounds and stuff like that. And all I was trying to do is just kill an elk,
yeah.
a cow,
yeah.
anything right. that I could, anything legal. I was really, really, you know, trying to just try to get close enough to where I could kill anything. And That's the way I started out.
Yeah.
That's the way I started out.
How about you, Gage?
So
when did that switch flip? I know the day, I think.
So the day that switch flipped was that day that bull my dad called into me and I stood there.
It's on video.
It's on video. Amazing video. Actually, my wife.
All over itself.
Your wife videoed that whole thing. So, and.
Little stud that she is.
She's a little stud. She's 4'11 and she. She just goes everywhere with us. Not afraid.
Oh, wait. She went elk hunting with us. She followed us for 12 miles one day.
She did. Oh, well, the thing is, she didn't say anything until we got to that 12-mile mark, and then she whispered to me. She said, "My feet are bleeding."
Oh,
and it was like,
yeah.
We're going back to
if
camp.
If I would have known that, I would have packed her back to camp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that was the switch, because I got there, and I stood there, and nothing happened. And Dad called that bull into me. And then I mean, that bull was there for at least 15 minutes, as it felt. It was probably 5-10 minutes. I don't know how long he actually stood there. Then it took seeing my dad crawling on his hands and knees,
trying to
kill that elk. And I seen that killer mentality in his eyes. He was going to kill that elk.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, I just stood there and watched him and just shaking. I bet that arrow was going a mile, you know, but that's what it took. It took that bull coming in and all the work we put in to get that elk in, and then me just freeze.
Yeah.
And that's what it actually took. And
and thinking that he was going to see you, and you could have walked around the tree and put an arrow in him.
But it's
a different thing when you've done, you got to be around elk to do that. You know?
Have to be there.
Yep.
I think that's the whole thing, as far as like my dad too. I've been around a lot of elk and watched him. I watched my dad shoot a bunch of them, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just like, but my dad would just be like, yeah, there's one.
Yeah.
Done. I'm like, how does that even work? You know? And
he didn't even shake.
No, I'm just like, yeah, dad.
Oh, your dad's a special dude though.
He's the real deal. Dad's the real deal. Yeah. He can flat shoot animals and but he's done it forever. And, right. And I don't know. I think, yeah, I'll get him on a podcast and say, what was your defining moment?
Yeah.
And it would probably be because we were hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's awesome. I mean, I'd love to hear that podcast.
But at the same time, I think that's a different deal. Like, you know, we have all these different, you know, of when, you know, we wanted to just kill something, and then it goes back to the whole way back, if you want to talk about it, and back to maybe there's been a time in your life where, you know what, the family needs to eat.
Yeah.
And it's a season that's open.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think you're going to hear about that a lot more.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's a thing of the past, I think, a little bit. And it's just like, you know, we didn't have elk, and so I needed to shoot something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's where I took on as when I started my whole little, if you want to talk, journey or whatnot, as far as like, yeah, I want to provide for the family every single year. If I can kill a cow, I can kill a whatever it may be, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And it's a cool feeling. Me and my wife have been married for 4 years. And
you've not bought a lot of beef.
And we have not. The only time I buy beef is on Valentine's Day, and I cook her a nice steak. That's the only time. And that feeling is a very, very good feeling. And to watch my daughter eat
I was
going to
say, now you're bringing a daughter into
it. And a daughter into it. And it's
so cool.
That it's just a crazy feeling.
She's going to be a stud too.
She is. Just the feeling. Totally. And having
you're
a full freezer.
You're not biased at all.
Oh, dude.
You're not biased at all. You're not biased at all.
Grandkids are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when your problems are is like, do I need to buy another freezer? That's when
that's
you know.
That's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem
it's
to have.
It's not terrible. It's not.
And it's a great feeling. And my brother just moved back from the Army, and his wife and his kid lived with us for a little bit. And she bought hamburger. I was like, you do not need to buy hamburger. There's about 300 pounds sitting in that freezer. Do not buy hamburger.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's just
that's
that
awesome.
Feeling. It's like, don't worry. I got, you know, that feeling as a man is the best feeling. Like, I'm supporting my family.
That's awesome.
It's cool. So, yeah.
And it's not just, I mean, not that beef's not good,
no,
but at the same time, this is like primo
mm-hmm.
hamburger, you know,
and especially just the work you put into it. You kill the elk, you clean the elk, you process
your
the
wife.
Elk.
Their satisfaction,
and then satisfied. Me and my wife every year.
That's a bonding experience.
It's,
for
it's
you
either
guys.
It's either a bear or a deer or an elk. Every year, we process that
together.
Wild game together.
That's cool,
and she loves it. She loves to do it. So it is a very cool. Very cool thing, and family tradition. It's becoming a family tradition.
It is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we go to his house to eat elk.
Well,
or deer, for sure.
Yeah, I've killed a few deer here lately. Yeah. And Dad's like, when am I getting backstrap? It's like, come on over. We'll cook you some backstrap.
Yeah. No, we need the best prime cuts.
Mm-hmm.
We need the prime cuts. No.
Yeah.
So.
No, and actually, I was talking to Gage here, coming down here, and I was like, man, you know what? You've done, he's killed a deer 2 years in a row, and he's killed that elk, and now if we could get him a bear,
yeah,
we'll fill that freezer back up.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's the day. Yeah. It is the day. No. And if it's not, it's going to be the next day.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be any day.
There will be a bear down
and
before
the season's
over. And
we're super blessed to be able to just to go out.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Just to do it and just to have the fellowship with each other. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about that. And I think you can get wrapped up too much. And I've noticed myself at times just being like, well, we got to kill something. We got to kill something. We got to kill something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, hold on.
There is some pressure there.
There is some pressure there, and having a YouTube channel and having all this social media stuff, I think it definitely
puts it on you.
It feeds all that fire, but at the same time, I think and it just goes back, and I'm going to wrap this whole thing up.
I mean, we all can't be born and raised, you know.
No. I wasn't going there, Nate.
I know, but I did.
I know, but I'm going to wrap this podcast up, but at the same time, it goes back to the life outdoors of what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Look at yourself and maybe just take a step back and just say, hey, you know what? Is there something greater than me? What am I doing? You know,
smell the pine needles.
Yeah. What's going on here? And, I don't know. It resonates as far as this whole time that we've been together, and you know, it's tomorrow's going to be a new day, and what are we getting up for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are we getting up for?
You know, I quite honestly think, and being a grandfather now, it all comes. The
grandfather,
only,
you're dating yourself a little bit.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
I'm proud to be a grandfather. But it comes back to relationship. Quite honestly, what do we really have to take off of this earth? It's not our cool bows, which we love. It's not our good gear, which we love. It's really the relationships.
Yeah.
And that, quite honestly, is the biggest thing. And I think that's the biggest thing that we learn in the outdoors. And that's what brings life into the outdoors. And so when we get out and do this, I think it's the relationships of what we do and who we're around, and our relationship to the nature itself, and then our relationship to the one who created it. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that we get from the outdoors is that relationship. Have you ever sat on a ridge by yourself and you watched the sun come up and you're the only one in that perspective that gets to see that? Nobody else on earth gets to see what you're seeing. That's given to you from a relationship. And that's what the Life Outdoors is trying to show people. That's what we're about.
I would totally agree. And to everybody listening to this, don't take that for granted.
Yeah, don't take it for granted at all. Especially now, especially when you get grandkids, show that to them.
Yeah.
And then you guys, everybody that listens to this that goes hunting, and there's a lot of groups that hunt together, you know, it is, as much as we love to kill elk together, it's not about that.
Nope.
It's about packing them out together.
Nope.
It's about eating together.
It's about going and chasing them.
It is.
It is. And it makes that harvest so much more.
Better.
Yeah, it does. Yep. But at the same time, it's just like when you look back on some of the most successful hunts, it's the most unsuccessful hunts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's 2017.
It's the hunts that didn't pan out, but at the same time, we were all in it for the same reason.
Yep.
And so.
I guess that's a good place to leave this.
I think it is. Guys, thanks for listening to this. And the Life Outdoors, go check them out. I would encourage you to, you know, seek something better than yourself.
I would agree.